Aaron Rodgers is hilarious. It was news to me. Again? You don't have Rob Saleh's phone number? I just said to Marco. Marco's like, you guys are in the same building. You don't talk? Like, what? I'm doing keepers. I'm doing rollouts. I'm doing QB sneaks. I'm doing bootlegs. I'm doing QB draw. You don't have any business playing in the preseason after last year, Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a no-brainer. It doesn't need to be a surprise. There's nothing to gain from you playing in the preseason for the Jets this year. Everything rides on you being healthy for the whole regular season and potentially playoffs. Playoffs with Rob Saleh? Yeah, I don't know. We'll do it tomorrow. I'll give you my thoughts and takes on the Jets. I lean gangrene. I want them to win. I'll be there. I will pull up to Jet Life Stadium, the New Jersey Jets. I'll go see them. I want to see a master at work, one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, who knows offenses and defenses better than anybody on the field. Rob Saleh is calling him a coach on the field. How come you don't have open lines of communication with your coach? It seems like there's some type of a rift there. You go to Egypt. Coach throws you under a bus with that. It's unexcused. Then the coach goes, tells the media you're not playing in the preseason games. Duh. You talk about it's a surprise to me. No, it shouldn't be a surprise, bro. Should have been a surprise to you that you weren't able to come back from an Achilles tear and actually play last year after you went on Pat McAfee and sold that dream for weeks. But we'll get there. We will get there. Man, going back to the call before the break, Mark's call. Yeah, you know. Shout out to diversity. Diversity is not just race, religion, sexuality. Diversity is diversity of thought, diversity of backgrounds and experiences, and diversity of fandom, diversity of styles, diversity of, you know, you need that, especially at a radio station. It should sound different. Wait, you need that in New York. This is a diverse place. You need to have different angles. You need to have different thoughts. You need to just have, it just needs to be different. This is a radio station. They don't turn off. It can't be the same thing day after day after day. It's, you know, it's funny. He disrespected people with mental illness. I didn't stop him because we were up against the break, but like, that's not fair because like, that's not something to joke about either. But at the same time, like, none of it is a joke. It's disrespectful to Black people, Hispanic people, Latin people, however you want to phrase it, Asian people, whatever. It's disrespectful to people who haven't gotten opportunities in this country forever. It's disrespectful to, you know, talented folks like myself that could never break through, that can never get a chance. You know, when I'm called to diversity hire, I don't take it personal. I laugh. But I think about what it actually is doing. It's stripping me of my education. It's also stripping me of my resume and my story. And your story is important. It's important for people to know where you came from, how you got to where you are. Like, I don't just represent Black people. I represent, like Mark calling from Monroe, New Jersey, people from New Jersey. I represent people from both universities I attended, James Madison University, Monmouth University. I represent Major League Baseball as far as the other cave dwellers that were in the MLB fan cave with me. We're having our 10-year reunion next month in Atlanta. I represent a lot of different things. And, you know, I get it. Some people that want to hate on you and helicopter in and say you're this and that, you're just a well-spoken token, and that's how you got the opportunity. Nah, it's a lot deeper than that. But, yeah, that was real. And, you know, shout out to Steve Summers. You know, I was even talking to BT a little bit before I went on here about just how solid Steve is and how Steve has been a resource for me, someone that I could call. And the real conversation that Steve and I had, it was probably the realest conversation that we had before he came on with me, I think last Wednesday or last Thursday. And man, this radio is real. These microphones are real. There's so many people that can hear this stuff. It gets real serious too. You got to be careful. But we're human beings. It's hard to be perfect. None of us are. And I've heard a lot of the hosts here say, hey, you sit in these chairs long enough, you're going to make some mistakes. You just got to be able to own it. You just got to be able to apologize. You got to be able to move forward. And I think it can make you stronger if you're able to do that. 888-808-1019. And I'm not going anywhere. You know, I plan on being here. I plan on being in New York City. I plan on being in the media. I plan on being on television more. I plan on being on the radio, social media, podcasts, YouTube, all of that. This is my passion, my profession, my career. I'm living a dream. I started from very humble beginnings. You know, talk about what I represent. I represent my family. I represent everyone with the McPherson name, everyone in my family tree that root for me, that know what kind of person I am. So when they see people saying what I am and what I'm not, they're like, nope. And shout out to the people here at WFAN, you know, that have my back, that understand, like, yo, this is a good guy. You know, one blip on the radar does not define this guy. This guy's had 1,000 highlights. You know, one low light is not going to stick. 888-808-1019. And, you know, Mark spoke about being a stadium fan. I didn't grow up a stadium fan. I grew up watching the Yankees on TV, dreaming of going to Yankee Stadium, wanting to be a part of it. I remember thinking, Yankee Stadium is for rich people in New York. Yankee Stadium is for rich people that can afford tickets. And, you know, I heard Mark say, it's expensive to go to games. Now, I was unemployed, and I was at a lot of games. The most games I ever went to was when I didn't have a job. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. There are ways. There are free tickets. There are ways to eat before you go in. Even now, I was on live the other day. I think I was on my live either two nights ago, and I posted on my Instagram. I'm like, I don't spend money in the stadium out of habit, because just some 4, 5, 6 years ago, I didn't have money to spend. So even when I go now, you will never run into me in Yankee Stadium online getting food. You will never run into me online getting a beer. I just naturally don't do that.
I get a lot of hookups too.
Now, everybody wants to buy me a beer. Now, I know plenty of places to go to eat for free in there.
And I don't even know where the sweets are.
I mean, I know how to get around. I know how to navigate. It's a charm life. I'm blessed. Like, not for nothing. Like, on top of being able to navigate Yankee Stadium from all the years that I was running with the Creatures and just being a, you know, stadium rat. Like, now that people recognize me, it's like a skeleton key. Hey, Keith, come on. Yo, where you at? Come on down. Well, you know, it's a blessing. It's ridiculous, because I remember taking the train from Monmouth County to the stadium. I remember moving up here and taking the train and taking buses and, you know, just to go see the Yankees. Now I pull up, I drive, I park in the parking, I walk right in. It's amazing. Yeah. Shout out to the Yankee fans that go to the game, because there's a difference. When I was watching on TV, there's just a whole different world. There's a whole different aspect. And part of my mission, being in the media, being on the radio, being on social media, is to be a window into the culture of the fans at Yankee Stadium. Why do you think I rep so hard for the Bleacher Creatures? Because when I was young, I didn't understand what the Creatures were and are, and how this is a family and a fraternity, and this is passed on for years and years, and some people are down, some people aren't, but now the most popular section in Yankee Stadium is way overpriced on the resale market, and there are other people trying to force their way in, perpetrating how some of the things that we did at the stadium before and after the games don't exist anymore, and the culture has shifted and changed because of social media and iPhones and all these other things, and it's good, you know, it's okay, it's just different now. It's 2024. It's not 1994. 888-808-1019. So, all right, the rest of the time, I'm not going to hate on Clay Holmes. I'm done with that. And like I said in my open, I'm not hating on Gleyber Torres or DJ LeMahieu. I broke out my jersey and my DJ jersey, repping DJ LeMahieu in here. I was a big fan of the guy. I still am. I don't think he's going to produce like he did today the rest of the way, but if he can be more than serviceable, great. Like, if he can be decent, if he can be better than what he was, it's going to help this team a ton. And ultimately, I want to see this team win. Ultimately, more than anything in sports, more than anything in my career, I want to live through this next World Series, cover this next World Series, celebrate this next World Series. It's going to be in 4K. It'll live forever. My guy Mario in Long Beach on the Fan. He knows what to do.
Exactly. Great show, my man.
Thanks. I love when I get a chance to do these five-hour shows because, you know, some of the people online are like, yeah, that's why they bury your show. You're terrible. You come on at 3 a.m. Listen, coming on at 3 a.m. is not a bad thing. Chris McMonagle does a great show in the overnight. Salicata did a great show in the overnight. Joe Beningo, there's so many people that did great shows in the overnight. And it's hilarious to hear this come from people that their show starts a minute after never.
Exactly. You know, just briefly, while we were talking about the inclusion stuff. So I managed the bank for 25 years. I hired people. So when I would talk about people and then I promoted them, whatever, I would say, oh, this guy John, I promoted him a couple of times. And then I wouldn't even know what color he was. He's John. He's good.
Yeah, does he do the job? Does he perform? Does he execute?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what color. I don't even look at you as a color or anybody.
There's a lot of people, because this is Radio Mario, there's a lot of people that when they do look me up and see what I look like, they're like, I didn't know this was a black guy. And I'm like, gotcha.
Yeah, it's really weird. My wife is black. And one time I went to dinner. I might have told you this. I went to dinner with one of my best customers. And the next day he said, oh, your wife speaks very well.
Yeah,
now that's like a subliminal thing, because I'm a vice president of a bank. Why would I have a wife that didn't speak well? Are you just saying she speaks well because she's black? I mean,
yeah, black people aren't allowed to have a command of the English language. I blow people's minds. They want me to speak ebony phonics. They want me to speak ebonics. I can't. I grew up in a household where my mom said, you got to read and write and speak right. And then when I went to college, I had to do presentations and write papers. I'm sorry. I'm not the smartest guy, but I know how to talk. Like,
and all I know is if I want to talk about sports and it's somebody you will play the position of quarterback. I don't care.
Wow.
I don't look at you as a color. I could look at you as saying I played some ball, but you played at a higher level, so I could learn something.
I left that out of the story, Mario. I actually only got to college because I was a pretty decent football player on scholarship.
Exactly. Now, getting really quick to the Yankees, I mean, they were 50-22. Nobody was arguing about them then. They're a better team now.
Mm-hmm.
When 50-22, nobody wanted to make any changes at all, right? Everything was fine. Same team. There's a market correction, and I think it's happening a little bit now, and they're a better team because this guy Chisholm is unbelievable. You know, I mean, and they got him for nothing. They really didn't give up much for him at all, right? They gave up a couple of, like, low-level...
Augustin Ramirez, we'll see him in a few years, and maybe I don't think we'll miss him if this team wins a chip, or if Jazz Chisholm is, you know, he's also under control for more than this year. Like, I think it was a great move, and most people in baseball are saying that's the biggest move at the deadline because look at the immediate return.
Exactly, and he seems to have the personality that he likes the.
Yeah, he's not afraid of
the
bright lights
in New York.
He's not afraid of the spotlight. He's not afraid of the moment. He's putting the team on his back already.
You know, like a guy like Sonny Gray, he couldn't take New York. Then when he left New York,
Gallo.
He played better. It was, yeah, Joey Gallo, all those other guys, you know? And now this guy, Tanner Scott, right? That we might have gotten, you know, the best reliever. You know, he's on an expiring contract. So if you traded away two or three top picks, he can walk at the end of the year for nothing.
Right.
Right?
Right. And that's
the
thing.
So why would you trade for him?
Exactly. Why would you give up a Spencer Jones for him? You would not. You would not.
So then how could anybody, and I heard this happening all the time, maybe they're really not doing their homework, how could they reprimand the Yankees for not trying to get him when they know that the guy could walk and they want
it's
Spencer
just disappointment.
Jones?
It's just disappointment, honestly. I wanted Tanner Scott, but when I saw what the Padres did, I'm like, I know Cashman wasn't about to do that.
How would you feel if they traded Spencer Jones and then he walked next year? Now you lost Spencer Jones. You had this guy for 1 year. If he didn't bring you the chip, then you it was a horrible deal, man. Thanks for taking my call. You're doing a great job as always, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Mario. Yeah, no, I from the beginning I told you I'm not trading Spencer Jones, and they did not. And Dominguez and those two guys are untouchable. I knew they weren't. The Padres acquire left-handed pitcher Tanner Scott and right-handed pitcher Brian Hoeing from Marlins. For left-handed pitcher Robbie Snelling, right-handed pitcher Adam Mazur, infielder Graham Pauly, and infielder Jay Beshears. Now, you're not supposed to know who those guys are. You don't have to know who those guys are, but that's four guys for two guys. And when I'm looking at this, right, the Padres obviously get Tanner Scott, who arguably is the best closer that was available. Pete Fairbanks didn't get moved. Mason Miller didn't get moved. But, like, in return, like, the Marlins gave up their number two prospect, their number four prospect, their number five prospect, and their number 24 prospect. So you gave up three top five prospects? So let me go take a look now just to play the game. If the Yankees were to give up, they would never do it. They would never do it. Brian Cashman is not in the business of getting fleeced like that. If the Yankees would have had to give up Spencer Jones, their number two prospect, Roderick Arias, hell no, number four prospect, and Everson Pereira, their number five. There's no way they were going to do that. There's no way they were going to do that for Tanner Scott. So I get it. But what I don't understand, and I'm done bashing him, he's our guy, we ride. I understand you not giving up what it took to get Tanner Scott. What I don't understand is you being so tied, at least verbally, and your actions on the field this past week to Clay Holmes. Let's go to Al out on Staten Island. What's up, Al? You're on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? I love your show, man.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
You know, and by the way, you don't ever have to justify where you got, you know what I'm saying, to where you are right now. You know what I'm saying? You earned it.
Yeah,
you know, you have a great
show. Like I said, it's part of inspiring people. It's part of telling my story. It's part about, like, you know, letting people know that, like, man, I was down. I was down in the dumps, but I kept fighting. I had no opportunities. People were not putting my name on top of the, you know, stack of resumes, but here I am.
I hear you. And you know what? Thank God we have a Yankee host, because the hosts are very Met top heavy on the
Tell
on the fan.
Tell me about it. Goodness, Boomer and Geo. We got Salicata,
like
Evan
Met,
Roberts.
Met.
SNY, Baseball Night in New York, My Mets Bible. I'm like, man, can we get some Yankee Universe
action? Absolutely. Amen to that, bro. But the reason why I called was I think, you know what, you got Luis Gil, where is on a supposed innings limit, right? I believe if Holmes continues to struggle, they're going to be like, you know what, we want to cut your innings down, move you to the bullpen, and he'll turn it to the closer. You imagine his stuff for only having to go an inning, it'd just be blowing people away.
It's been floated out there. I'm not against it, but my only thought against it is who's your game two starter in October?
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm thinking you got Cole. If Cole's Cole, then, you know, he's game one guaranteed, right? If Carlos Rodon continues to pitch the way he's been pitching lately, and he just builds on it, he's your number two. And then if Clark Schmidt comes back the way he was pitching at the first half, this is 1, 2, and 3. And if Strowman's your number four, that's not bad. You can always move Nestor to the bullpen. You know, he can give you an inning or two with a lefty. I mean, like,
now
things are looking pretty good with the rejuvenated lineup.
Big ifs, Al. If I was 6'4", 225, I would have went to Penn State. Thanks for the call. I can't go off the ifs. If Carlos Rodon? We're talking about the same Carlos Rodon who was pouting, literally in tears, getting choked up, giving up the game not too long ago. Terrible body language, like he wanted to fight people. I can't, no. You know, and then, Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt, he's been hurt. I'm not banking on that. Right now, it's Gerrit Cole game one. It's Luis Gil game two. Clay Holmes has to be better, and they have to be open to the idea of letting someone else in this bullpen close. Roger's in Princeton, New Jersey. Roger, you're on the Fan in New York.
Keith, it's been a while, but I just want to start off by saying that your humility is refreshing, and the fact that you have a different perspective most often than a lot of the other guys is why you fit in so nicely in WFAN. I mean, they don't have to justify by any, you know, political statement, all that stuff of bringing you in. You bring game, and that's why you're there. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Thank you.
Matt from Monroe stole most of my thunder by hitting on all the Glaber points and home points. I'm going to reiterate. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out how he escaped the trade deadline, because I thought if we need the closer and the other teams don't want like a rental player, then why can't Cashman get creative enough to do a three-way, you know,
there's
a three-way trade?
Another reason why I'm so pissed off about the whole Glaber situation, I've been trying to actively trade him since 2021. After the 2020 season, I'm like, yo, trade
Same.
Him. Because now he's got no value. So nobody wants the guy with the most errors at the position. Nobody wants a guy that'll hit for a month and then go cold and be striking out. He's our problem. There's no value that they could get for him. They couldn't get someone that would help the team this year. Maybe they could have traded him away, like they traded Joey Gallo away for a Clayton Beter to get a young prospect. They weren't going to do that because now Glaber is hitting, and he is a part of the fabric of this team and clubhouse. He's good friends with Soto and Judge and the rest of these guys. They're just going to let it go and hope for the best until October, and I just hope it doesn't come back and bite us.
What I'm having trouble understanding about Boone, I understand he tries to keep everybody happy and deals with, like, egos, and I don't know if Glaber's is a fragile one. Doesn't seem so if he could say, no, I'm not moving from second base. But why not substitute for him in the eighth and ninth innings? I mean, all these botched double plays. So he's just making me scream at the TV, and I'm surprised we're not losing.
Shout out to Dan Yuzerski from Monmouth University, who's in college right now, the same way I was at Monmouth on the radio. And he messaged me about the same thing. He said, something I'm interested in is, why does DJ come in for Rice but not Glaber, right? Like, you know, we all saw DJ fall yesterday, whatever, and then have a terrible at bat. He's like, Glaber's so bad at second base, such a liability at second base, like, why don't we make the defensive replacement there, the guy that won a gold glove at second base? Like, how come that's never happened? He's like, DJ is better defensively and deserves to play at second over Glaber in late-game scenarios. And then you keep Ben Rice's clutch home run swing in the line. I don't know, man. We don't have the answers.
And the hate on Oswaldo. You can bring Oswaldo in, move Jazz over to second. You know, if you're trying not to put DJ, to move DJ around, I just feel like Glaber's got the choke bone. I'm sorry to say it. And in the field, I have the choke bone. Volpe made an error on that game right before the All-Star break, but he gets a pass because, again, he's new to the bigs. And he's won made a gold glove.
He's made some really good plays, and the amount of you know, balls hit the shortstop, he's got a ton of work to do. Thanks for the call, Roger. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down again. I've got about 90 minutes or so less. Thanks for spending the time with me. This is KM to AM. We've got plenty more time left. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back after this. Right back at it on the Fan. I mean, we've mostly been talking about the Yankees, and we should. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. That's a 5-game win streak. That's a sweep of the quote-unquote best team in baseball. Well, take a look at the standings and see those 65 wins and take a look at where your New York Yankees stack up. 888-808-1019. We've talked through everything from the trade deadline. The Yankees bring in Jazz Chisholm. Immediate impact. They haven't lost since that news broke. Mark Leiter Jr., literally immediate impact. Like, he showed up in the third inning. Fast forward, he's in the game. I don't know, some 6-7 innings later. We haven't seen Enyo De Los Santos, whatever, that's fine. He'll make his Bronx debut, I'm sure. But it is what it is. You got to give to get. A lot of Yankee fans were underwhelmed with the return at this deadline. I myself said, stack the deck. This better be an all-timer, and it was not. But you know what just cures all that, what washes all of that away? The team playing. The team scoring runs. More runs than we've seen them score in recent time. The team pitching well enough, getting outs, miraculous plays, being able to steal a game from Boston, being able to steal a game from Philadelphia, and coming home to a fan base that has not left them, a fan base that has packed that ballpark, a fan base that, yeah, we're upset. Yeah, we complain and hate on everybody from Clay Holmes to Gleyber Torres to DJ LeMahieu, but you know what? We're rooting for you because ultimately we want to win. Ultimately, we are hoping that this team does have what it takes to win a championship. And when we look at the American League, we say, why not? Why can't it be this year with Aaron Judge in his prime going crazy, with Juan Soto in his first year as a Yankee, Giancarlo Stanton back healthy, getting back into it, DJ LeMahieu showing signs of still having that old software in the machine. Gleyber Torres actually starting to hit as of late. Hopefully he can cut down the errors. Young Volpe lower in the lineup getting it done. Austin Wells becoming the actual catcher for the New York Yankees, batting cleanup. Alex Verdugo getting out of his funk, leading off, having multiple hits, getting his swagger back. Guys like Oswaldo Cabrera, when he gets his opportunity, capitalizing on it. Guys like Trent Grisham, when he gets his opportunity, making plays with the glove and at the plate. This team has enough talent. They have enough pitching. Carlos Rodon has been better. Gerrit Cole will get better. He'll get over the stomach bug and the fatigue, and Cole will be Cole. You can count on him to get back and get right. Stroman, let's see one. Let's see a good one. Nestor Cortez, that's fine. You survived the trade deadline. We won the game. That's fine. Cody Poteet will be back. Clark Schmidt will be back. This bullpen is going to be a competition for who gets to come out of this bullpen. It's going to be a competition for who has to get DFA'd, who stays, who goes, who gets cut. You've got journeymen. You've got some young guys. You've got guys that were traded for, guys that are picked off the scrap heap. Well, you know, here comes Ian Hamilton coming back. Scott Efros coming back. Let's see how they blend in with Jake Cousins and Tommy Canley and Luke Weaver and Michael Tonkin and Clay Holmes. Your closer, my closer. It is what it is. 888-808-1019. I did talk a little bit of the Mets. Like, I did talk a little bit of the Mets trade deadline and spoke highly of David Stearns. And even the Mets this week where, you know, Monday comes and it's Salicata, Salicata, you've done it again. There's a whole thing with a jinx and the NL East is over into the NL wild card spot is over or whatever. No, these Mets are different. These Mets have a cosmic energy around them. All these different cool things and themes that have popped up this year to make this team a postseason team. And David Stearns at the helm, who's smarter than we actually thought. Undersell, overdeliver. So far, so good. Trade deadline comes. It was a seller's market. He didn't sell like he could have. But he delivered and got the arms and got you in an outfield bat that I think is going to help the team as they make a push towards October. 888-808-1019. Wait till Pete Alonso gets hot. But you don't even have to wait because you have a guy like Mark Vientos, who I was talking about before. This guy, he's going to out-homer J.D. Martinez this year. This guy, he's going to have a 25, maybe a 30. Like, if he even goes crazy, maybe a 30-homer year? Nah. Maybe. This guy was written off. You've got multiple guys having career years. You've got young guys like Vientos, Alvarez. You've got guys that are trying to prove themselves, prove that they belong in Major League Baseball. Guys on one-year deals, two-year deals. They've come together. And now, here in New York, we have baseball seasons on both sides. Before football gets here, which it's literally here tomorrow, we're walking into the dog days of August tomorrow with two teams that are in the wild card hunt. One team that is definitely in the hunt to win the division. The other team could potentially make a run at the division if the first place team in the NL East continues to fold. And I think that's going to keep baseball fans locked in through week one, week two, week three, week four. And I think it's going to be great when Major League Baseball can see postseason baseball again in both the Bronx and Queens. 888-808-1019. Justin in Washington, New Jersey, you're first up. You got it.
Hey, Keith, what's happening? Thanks for taking my call, man.
No problem. Go for it.
Real quick, before I get to my Yankees point, I just want to give a shout-out to the U.S. women's rugby team for medaling. I know it was yesterday, but you know, they took home a medal for the first time, so I think that's awesome.
Oh, news to me.
I don't know exactly all the rules to that sport of rugby, but it was a very good match to watch. They scored on the last play. It was great. Anyway, to my Yankees point, Keith, have you ever been to Citizens Bank Ballpark before?
Yes, I have. More than once, yes.
Oh, yeah, I just got there. I went there today. It was my first time at that park. That bullpen is pretty interesting out in right field, how the fans are just pretty much right on top of the visiting pen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. I was out there when Clay Holmes was warming up, you know, and it was, it, you know, man, he makes me nervous. You know what I mean? It was cool to get to be that close to watch a professional.
I'm sure the fans were nice to him. I'm sure the Yankee fans and Phillies fans were getting at him. He could hear everything.
Oh, man. Yeah, he scares me, man. You know, I was really hoping they were going to get another arm, a shutdown guy. They didn't, but, you know, we got to root for the colors, man. You know, I hope he figures things out because, you know, if the Yankees are going to win a World Series, we got to have somebody that we know is going to be able to shut it down at the end.
That's it. You just said it, Justin. Thanks for the call. That's it. That's it. You know, I saw the quote card that WFAN put out and, you know, people are reacting to it and good. Shout out to our digital team. They do a great job. And whoever's idea it was to start making quote cards daily, like, it just drives up engagement. So the quote card, and I'm done hating on Clay Holmes. Like I said, he's our guy. I want him to do better. He got the save today. I said, good. But my quote was, if that's your closer, you don't plan on winning in October. He's not like that. He's not a guy that you feel like you can trust in big games with the game on the line in October. But maybe he will turn into that over the course of the next 2 months. 888-808-1019. Fingers crossed. I wear my pajamas inside out. I'll say a couple Hail Marys. Like, I don't know what I got to do. I have to make a blood sacrifice. I have to do something, Nick. I have to somehow will Clay Holmes into being a lockdown, shutdown closer. Enough with the excuses of, oh, well, he had bad defense behind him, or he's got good stuff, or look at it. You know, no, I need outs. That's it. You're supposed to come in and get the outs.
Yeah, I don't know. He needs something, but it takes a lot for me. It's going to take a lot more good outings for me to, like, develop a little bit more trust in him.
Right. I've seen too much already.
But, yeah, he'll have a bunch of good outings in a row, but then he's always, you know, you're always worried about the next one where he's going to come in and implode.
Evan is in Manhattan. Evan, you're on the fan.
Keith, my guy, man. Listen, great show as always. Just a couple things before I get to my Yankees. And never mind waiting because you're my favorite show on the fan. Is that, listen, man, you're insightful, you're knowledgeable, you're respectful of your fans. You know, you got everything, man. You earned everything you got, and you're on a big-time upswing, okay?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
So just want you to know that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how, I'm not sure how JR got the job, but I know you got it for real reasons.
Oh, JR was grinding too. Shout out to JR. I mean, he's more like Infinity Sports and has done some fill-in spots on the weekend. But, I mean, JR was one of the first people to reach out to me when I got the opportunity, and he said it's about damn time.
All right. Well, you're a bit more, you know, respectful and, you know, knowing your opinions on par with the rest of us, but I know you know the inside stuff on some of those tracks. But anyway, listen, before the Yankees, just real quick, shout-out, round of applause again to Leon Rose, and congratulations to Precious Achiuwa, who are entertaining but not always on point. Boy, Loogie, the week of the trade, said, attaboy, I love it, but who's this garbage Precious Achiuwa throw-in that will be gone and cut in a week?
Yeah.
Unquote. Hope you guys played a soundbite.
I remember.
And that's the guy who, with the whole team out, helped us get the second seat.
Yeah. Okay. He's from the Bronx. Right. So, people should look up his family tree and his story of how he became and got to where he is. Good to see the Knicks bringing him back. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He's from New York.
Right. Exactly. That's a big time story of perseverance. Okay. So to the Yankees, sometimes, which isn't the biggest compliment, you know, to you in the world. I think you and I, like sports brains, are separated at birth. Clay Holmes, you're right on point. I either put like a towel over my eyes, or I take a shot of Don Julio Añejo, my go-to, which is on my little like bar, you know, in the living room when he comes in. I don't get it. 21 out of 29. That's bottom third save percentage. He's blown over 25% now, and I just don't get it. Like you said, the pass he's given, he's got stuff. He's going off when he blew into the scene a couple years ago, and he was lights out. But that's not the current status of things. You didn't get a guy. I like what they did at the deadline. You don't want to sell out and give up too much. And just let me, before you cut me, I want to get to my quick Jazz Chisholm point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know what? That back and forth, unbelievable game of the year the other night, 12-inning game. What I want fire like Tonkin, who struck out those last two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take a pulse on Clay Holmes to see if he's alive. He's expressionless. My closer's got a little John Starks in him, okay? And that's Tonkin, all right? I'd give the guy a week. I don't know if he can do it, but I know the guy comes in and he's mad at himself when things don't go well, and I don't know about Clay Holmes. He seems fine. He's the pitching version of Gleyber Torres. They're no Paul O'Neill. The guy's never broke a cooler. The guy, you know, Gleyber Torres looks fine being less than mediocre. Okay. Last point I'll leave you with, thanks for the time, it's about Jazz Chisholm, and I'll give you my spin on this and get your thoughts on what I'm saying, is that the best thing about him, not only is he a great ball player, even with the unexpected home runs as a bonus, even without that, like a nightmare for other teams on the bases, steals bases, plays great D, but urgent memo to Verdugo, Cabrera, DJ, and Gleyber.
And Trent Grisham.
If you hit 190, you ain't going to play anymore because I got someone to take your spot.
Yep.
And maybe that did a little something for DJ today. Thank you, my friend.
Great call, Evan. Absolutely it did. I said that Saturday. I stopped gambling on the Yankees because I lost money and I didn't pick up on, you know, they're going to keep losing. Then I eventually just stopped betting on the Yanks. But I'm like, if I was a gambling man and I wanted to start jumping back in on the Yankees, as soon as that Jazz Chisholm news breaks, the Yankees are back. You start betting on them that night. And then the next night. And then now if you put together some parlays and bet them money line or run line, like, you would have won some cash. I knew as soon as that news broke in Major League Baseball that would shake up the clubhouse, that would do something to these guys to make them feel some kind of sense of urgency. You ain't safe. And that's what you need. You can't take it for granted that you just get to put on the pinstripes and the road grays and run out there every day. No, this guy's coming. And he's on the way to be, you know, in the lineup. They're scratching your name out. You're on the bench. He's in. So I think that Jazz came in, obviously, with a smile and trying to help the team. But I think as soon as that news broke, maybe these guys had a gulp moment where they're like, I got to get it going. You saw Trent Grisham. The Yankees were down to their final out. Trent Grisham was a double off the wall. Thought he couldn't hit. Had to make plays. Had to get it done. Gleyber Torres, DJ, Verdugo, all those guys. Hey. You're on notice. There's a guy coming in that can play the outfield, that can play second base, that can play third base. Now we found out now that they've thrown him there. And, you know, talking about Michael Tonkin, when Michael Tonkin came over here, I remember, like, I was mad because, again, with the computers and the lanes, right, that Friday night I was on air against Milwaukee. Clay Holmes hadn't pitched. They throw Clay Holmes 10 pitches, and then that's it. They go to Michael Tonkin, who when they went to Mark Leiter Jr., I'm like, this is giving me Tonkin vibes. He just got here. Like, Tonkin had landed at 2 a.m. that morning. They had a lane for him. If we go to extra innings, you're going to pitch. And he wasn't good. And coming off of what I saw from him pitching for the Mets and blowing games for the Mets, I'm like, why are we even messing around with this guy? I had a drop. Keith McPherson at night. And the drop, it was like, these takes expire. My takes, the morning show, midday, afternoon, and overnight, our takes are going to expire. Whether it's Big Mac saying that the Mets are dead, Lugie saying that Precious Achiuwa was going to be cut, or whatever. Like, you gotta give us that time. And my take on Michael Tonkin was incorrect, but it was based off the first night. He's been great, and he does have fire, and he's got a great story. Go read about his journey and how good he feels that the Yankees are keeping him. And they're not coming to tap on his shoulder to say, you're gone. And he's performed under those circumstances. I wouldn't be opposed to letting him close games. I wouldn't. I like his fire. And right now, I'm looking for another option. If Clay Holmes blows another save, that has to be it. In my opinion, that has to be it. And then I was endorsing him. They should have clipped my whole, you know, less honking, more tonking. And I know why I played, because he was a common denominator between Mets and Yankees fans. He blew the game for the Mets, and then his first game for the Yankees, he blew that too. Josh is in Passaic. What's up, Josh? You're back on the Fan.
Good, Keith. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually watching the Mets Encore, which, like, the SNY app in the corner, they do still call it an Encore, but on the YES Network, they don't refer to it as the Encore. They just replay the game. It's 8-2, bottom of the ninth. Unfortunately, the Mets are going to lose this one.
And, Keith, first, before I get to the Mets, on Anthony Volpe, do you like that he's at the end of the order, middle of the order, or you want him back at the leadoff spot?
I got to scream this one. I think it's anybody that has been listening to me, do not bat Anthony Volpe leadoff. Maybe in 10 years, maybe in 2 years. Leave that young man in the bottom of the order, whether it's six, the bottom half, or whether it's the actual bottom at nine.
And then with Leiter, are you looking more at the run he gave up or the three strikeouts?
I'm not so worried about, like, I'm looking at the three strikeouts. He's a swing and miss guy. That's why they went to get him. He's got the family ties. I'm not worried about the one run. I'm trying to think. I know he tried to field that that ball that went over his head, whatever. I'm looking at a guy that literally flew from Cincinnati to Philadelphia to join the team, just met his teammates, didn't get the chance to meet his catcher, and he's in the game helping the Yankees win, striking guys out. Good.
And then on the Mets, I'm just hoping that, you know, since Saturday now, they had the one game on Monday with that 15 runs. The only reason they've just been looking sluggish is just because they haven't had a day off. I'm hoping this the day off tomorrow helps them off, because especially guy like Brandon Nimmo has not really been hitting of late. But Mark Vientos, underratedly, is on a tear, Keith. This guy's knocking out every game.
Back-to-back games with a homer. And that's what I said. Now I'm on his homer watch. Now I'm looking, I'm laughing about the fact that, you know, J.D. Martinez gets signed. And J.D. Martinez is a professional hitter. But J.D. Martinez is working his walks. He's not hitting home runs as much. He's a little bit older up there in age. I'm like, this guy's going to out-homer J.D. Martinez. He might be on his way to a 25-30. Like, that'd be ridiculous if Mark Vientos hits 30 homers this year.
But it's not out of the picture, you know.
It's not. If he gets him late. I mean, look, he just had back-to-back homers. If he's got multiple weeks where he can string together back-to-back games with homers, they add up quick. J.D. Martinez has 11. What's he at, 16?
Oh, and then I'm also getting that guy from Miami. I'm actually looking forward to him. He made a good start, two strikeouts. And speaking of Miami, Keith, I seem like, you know, flashing to the crowd, you know, the money, you know, set, you know, like picking up his hands about it. I don't know. Like, Jordan Love, he earned that. You know, he had those two playoff games. Tua just had that game with the Broncos. We saw him the end of the year with the Bills game for the division, the Chiefs game. The guy did not look like he deserves to be, you know, one of the higher paid quarterbacks in the league. But I guess the market's like this now, but still, I did not like that deal. Okay, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go off to camp in the next few weeks. Maybe I'll call you in between. If not, have a good summer. Love the show. Keep on doing great work.
Young Josh, you're the man. Have fun at camp. Thanks for calling. The thing about paying quarterbacks, as Giants fans know, and now that Daniel Jones' contract doesn't look so bad, you got to pay the guy you got. I mean, Josh just mentioned, oh, yo, Jordan Love played in two playoff games. Yeah, so did Daniel Jones, and he got the bag. Jordan Love's contract, ridiculous. Off of 1 year? But he's the guy. And they groomed him to be the guy behind Aaron Rodgers. They're not looking for another guy. Same thing with Tank for Tua. The Dolphins tank for Tua. They got Tua. Mike McDaniel, one of the first calls he made as head coach was to Tua. We're going to work together. You have to take care of your quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you're not winning anything. The Jets fans could tell you all about that. 888-808-1019. Evan was on the line. Evan says that he drinks Don Julio Anejo when Clay Holmes is on the mound coming out for the ninth. I drink Casamigos Tequila Blanco. Coming up next is my Casamigos big shot of the night. That was my way to segue into it. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be right back.
My favorite show on The Fan is that, listen, man, you're insightful, you're knowledgeable, you're respectful of your fans. You know, you got everything, man. You earned everything you got, and you're on a big-time upswing, okay?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
So just want you to know that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And
appreciate it.
I don't know how I'm not sure how JR got the job, but I know you got it for real reasons.
Oh, JR right. was grinding, so, too. Shout out to JR. I mean, he's more like Infinity Sports and has done some fill-in spots on the weekend, but, I mean, JR was one of the first people to reach out to me when I got the opportunity, and he said it's about damn time.
All right. Well, you're a bit more, you know, respectful and, you know, knowing your opinions on par with the rest of us, but I know you know the inside stuff on some of those tracks. But anyway, listen, before the Yankees, just real quick, shout out, round of applause again to Leon Rose, and congratulations to Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah.
Who are entertaining but not always on point. Boy, Loogie, the week of the trade, said, "Anna boy, I love it. But who's this this garbage Precious Achiuwa throw in that will be gone and cut in a week?"
Yeah.
Unquote. Hope you guys play the soundbite.
I remember.
And that's the guy who with the whole team out helped us get the second seat.
Yeah. Okay. He's from the Bronx. Right. So, people should look up his family tree and his story of how he became and got to where he is. Good to see the Knicks bringing him back. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He's from New York.
Right, exactly. That's a big time story of perseverance. Okay, so to the Yankees, sometimes, which isn't the biggest compliment, you know, to you in the world. I think you and I, like sports brains, are separated at birth. Clay Holmes, you're right on point. I either put like a towel over my eyes, or I take a shot of Don Julio Añejo, my go-to, which is on my little like bar, you know, in the living room when he comes in. I don't get it. 21 out of 29. That's that's bottom third save percentage. He's blown over 25% now, and I just don't get it. Like you said, the pass he's given, he's got stuff. He's going off when he blew into the scene a couple years ago, and he was lights out, but that's not the current status of things. You didn't get a guy. I like what they did at the deadline. You don't want to sell out and give up too much. And just let me, before you cut me, I want to get to my quick Jazz Chisholm point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know what? That back and forth, unbelievable game of the year the other night, 12-inning game. What I want fire like Tonkin, who struck out those last two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take a pulse on Clay Holmes to see if he's alive. He's expressionless. My closer's got a little John Starks in him, okay? And that's Tonkin, all right? I'd give the guy a week. I don't know if he can do it, but I know the guy comes in and he's mad at himself when things don't go well, and I don't know about Clay Holmes. He seems fine. He's the pitching version of Gleyber Torres. Who they're no Paul O'Neill. The guy's never broke a cooler. The guy, you know, Gleyber Torres looks fine being less than mediocre. Okay. Last point I'll leave you with. Thanks for the time. It's about Jazz Chisholm. And I'll give you my spin on this and get your thoughts on what I'm saying. Is that the best thing about him, not only is he a great ball player, even with the unexpected home runs as a bonus, even without that, like a nightmare for other teams on the bases, steals bases, plays great D. But urgent memo to Verdugo, Cabrera, DJ, and Gleyber.
And Trent Grisham.
If you hit 190, you ain't going to play anymore because I got someone to take your spot.
Yep.
And maybe that did a little something for DJ today. Thank you, my friend.
Great call, Evan. Absolutely it did. I said that Saturday. I stopped gambling on the Yankees because I lost money and I didn't pick up on, you know, they're going to keep losing. Then I eventually just stopped betting on the Yanks. But I'm like, if I was a gambling man and I wanted to start jumping back in on the Yankees, as soon as that Jazz Chisholm news breaks, the Yankees are back. You start betting on them that night. and then the next night. And then now if you put together some parlays and bet them money line or run line, like, you would have won some cash. I knew as soon as that news broke in Major League Baseball that that would shake up the clubhouse, that that would do something to these guys to make them feel some kind of sense of urgency. You ain't safe. And that's what you need. You can't take it for granted that you just get to put on the pinstripes and the road grays and run out there every day. No, this guy's coming. And he's on the way to be, you know, in the lineup. They're scratching your name out. You're on the bench. He's in. So I think that Jazz came in, obviously, with a smile and trying to help the team. But I think as soon as that news broke, maybe these guys had a gulp moment where they're like, oh, I got to get it going. You saw Trent Grisham. The Yankees are down to their final out. Trent Grisham was a double off the wall. Thought he couldn't hit. Had to make plays. Had to get it done. Gleyber Torres, DJ, Verdugo, all those guys. Hey, you're on notice. There's a guy coming in that can play the outfield, that can play second base, that can play third base. Now we found out now that they've thrown him there. And, you know, talking about Michael Tonkin, when Michael Tonkin came over here, I remember, like, I was mad because, again, with the computers and the lanes, right, that Friday night I was on air against Milwaukee. Clay Holmes hadn't pitched. They throw Clay Holmes 10 pitches, and then that's it. They go to Michael Tonkin, who when they went to Mark Leiter Jr., I'm like, this is giving me Tonkin vibes. He just got here. Like, Tonkin had landed at 2 a.m. that morning. They had a lane for him. If we go to extra innings, you're going to pitch. And he wasn't good. And coming off of what I saw from him pitching for the Mets and blowing games for the Mets, I'm like, why are we even messing around with this guy? I had a drop. Keith McPherson at night. And the drop, it was like, I say these takes expire. My takes, the morning show, midday, afternoon, and overnight, our takes are going to expire. Whether it's Big Mac saying that the Mets are dead, Loogie saying that Precious Achiuwa was going to be cut or whatever, like you gotta give us that time. And my take on Michael Tonkin was incorrect, but it was based off the first night. He's been great, and he does have fire, and he's got a great story. Go read about his journey and how good he feels that the Yankees are keeping him, and they're not coming to tap on his shoulder to say, you're gone. And he's performed under those circumstances. I wouldn't be opposed to letting him close games. I wouldn't. I like his fire. And right now, I'm looking for another option. If Clay Holmes blows another save, that has to be it. In my opinion, that has to be it. And then I was endorsing him. They should have clipped my whole, you know, less honking, more Tonkin. And I know why I played, because he was a common denominator between Mets and Yankees fans. He blew the game for the Mets, and then his first game for the Yankees, he blew that too. Josh is in Passaic. What's up, Josh? You're back on the Fan.
Good, Keith. How you doing?
You know, I'm actually watching the Mets encore, which, like, the SNY app in the corner, they do still call it an encore, but on the S Network, they don't refer to it as the encore. They just replay the game. It's 8-2, bottom of the ninth. Unfortunately, the Mets are going to lose this one.
And, Keith, first, before I get to the Mets, on Anthony Volpe, do you like that he's at the end of the order, middle of the order, or you want him back at the leadoff spot?
I got to scream this one. I think if anybody that has been listening to me, do not bat Anthony Volpe leadoff. Maybe in 10 years, maybe in 2 years. Leave that young man in the bottom of the order, whether it's six, the bottom half, or whether it's the actual bottom at nine.
And then with Leiter, are you looking more at the run he gave up or the three strikeouts?
I'm not so worried about, like, I'm looking at the three strikeouts. He's a swing and miss guy. That's why they went to get him. He's got the family ties. I'm not worried about the one run. I'm trying to think. I know he tried to field that the ball that went over his head, whatever. I'm looking at a guy that literally flew from Cincinnati to Philadelphia to join the team, just met his teammates, didn't get the chance to meet his catcher, and he's in the game helping the Yankees win, striking guys out. Good.
And then on the Mets, I'm just hoping that, you know, since Saturday now, they had the one game on Monday, they had 15 runs. The only reason they've just been looking sluggish is just because they haven't had a day off. I'm hoping this the day off tomorrow, helps him off, because especially a guy like Brandon Nimmo has not really been hitting of late. But Mark Vientos, underratedly, is on a tear, Keith. This guy's knocking him out every game.
Back-to-back games with a homer. And that's what I said. Now I'm on his homer watch. Now I'm looking, I'm laughing about the fact that, you know, J.D. Martinez gets signed, and J.D. Martinez is a professional hitter, but J.D. Martinez working his walks. He's not hitting home runs as much. He's a little bit older up there in age. I'm like, this guy's going to out-homer J.D. Martinez. He might be on his way to a 25-30. Like, that'd be ridiculous if Mark Vientos hits 30 homers this year.
But it's not out of the picture, you know.
It's not. If he gets late. I mean, look, he just had back-to-back homers. If he's got multiple weeks where he can string together back-to-back games with homers, they add up quick. J.D. Martinez has 11. What's he at, 16?
Oh, and then also the guy from Miami, I'm actually looking forward to him. He made a good start, 2 strikeouts. And though, speaking of Miami, Keith, I see him, like, you know, flashing to the crowd, you know, the money, you know, set, you know, like, picking up his hands about it. I don't know. Like, Jordan Love, he earned that. You know, he had those 2 playoff games. Tua just had that game with the Broncos. We saw him the end of the year with the Bills game for the division, the Chiefs game. The guy did not look like he deserves to be, you know, one of the higher-paid quarterbacks in the league. But I guess the market's like this now, but still, I did not like that deal. Okay, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go off to camp in the next few weeks, and I'll call you in between. If not, have a good summer. Love the show. Keep on doing great work.
Young Josh, you're the man. Have fun at camp. Thanks for calling. The thing about paying quarterbacks, as Giants fans know, and now that Daniel Jones' contract doesn't look so bad, you got to pay the guy you got. I mean, Josh just mentioned, oh, yo, Jordan Love played in 2 playoff games. Yeah, so did Daniel Jones, and he got the bag. Jordan Love's contract, ridiculous. Off of 1 year? But he's the guy, and they groomed him to be the guy behind Aaron Rodgers. They're not looking for another guy. Same thing with Tank for Tua. The Dolphins tank for Tua. They got Tua. Mike McDaniel, one of the first calls he made as head coach was to Tua. We're going to work together. You have to take care of your quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you're not winning anything. The Jets fans could tell you all about that. 888-808-1019. Evan was on the line. Evan says that he drinks Don Julio Anejo when Clay Holmes is on the mound coming out for the 9th. I drink Casamigos Tequila Blanco. Coming up next is my Casamigos big shot of the night. That was my way to segue into it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.